Welcome, fellow confidence crusaders, neuro nerds, and success equalizers. This is your podcast, Real Confidence. I'm your host, Alyssa DeVere, and I'll be sharing a bit of basic brain science, some surprising social secrets, and a touch of tough love. Why? Because I believe confidence is everyone's fundamental right and choice. So let's get to it. Perhaps more profound these days, you get motivated to do things that are new and different can be quite a challenge. But to do them in a way that you become world class, I don't even know if most of us would consider even trying that. So you're going to hear some pretty amazing accomplishments, but more importantly, how and why to really reach for even maybe beyond what you think is your potential. I've got an fascinating, incredible human being here with me today, Jeff Seckendorf. Thank you for spending some time with me and our listeners.
Yeah, no, it's great to be here. I appreciate it.
Well, we're going to put your bio, of course, in the show notes, but we got to talk a little bit about how your journey and where, you know, filmmaker and biker and all this. Do the bio for us, will you?
Yeah, we'll see if we can do this in 30 seconds. I started in as a child photographer and then moved into the film industry, where I had a long, like 35-year career making movies and commercials. And then I had one producing partner tell me I spent 15 years trying to get into the film business and then 15 years trying to get out. And, you know, we can talk about that, but it's a tricky business. And so in getting out, I started a scuba certification and training agency, looking for an education project, and found one in scuba. That's been running for 15 years. I still do it. And then a few years ago, I started working for with the Parkinson's Association here in San Diego, doing content and stuff for them. It's a really good project for me and for the world. And I ride a bike.
You don't just ride a bike.
Yeah. I try to ride a bike fast, but yeah, and I ride a bike, and the bike is a real big part of my life also, as a separate thing. So right now I'm doing the Parkinson's stuff, the scuba stuff, and the cycling stuff.
All right. So a couple clarifications, and I queued you up in the beginning. You don't just do these things, right? You are like world-class in so many ways, award-winning filmmaker. Talk a little bit about some of the accomplishments I'm seeing behind you, which our listeners don't get the benefit, like 50 medals. some of the actual tangible or awards or accomplishments, let's get a little deeper. And you said child filmmaker. I don't think you meant it as a child, but tell us a little bit more, get a little deeper.
Well, child photographer. I was given a camera when I was like six. And then my dad and I built a dark room in the house when I was like eight. And so I had that running up, and, you know, I moved from still photography to filmmaking and was wonderfully successful. I made a film called Judy Berlin, which won the Director's Award at Sundance. I got an Independent Spirit Award nomination for cinematography on that. You know, I did so many commercials in New York and LA, you know, 1,000 commercials. And it was just a really good run in the film business. It was great. When I was starting to get tricky and boring, when I formed this scuba certification and training agency, and it's become this global, very high-end, very boutique training agency for scuba. It's kind of a unique organization, and that's been great. And then the bike, of course, you know, I started really seriously racing in my 50s and had a little success in triathlons. Stopped running on my 60th birthday. That seemed like a good thing. You know, quit running uninjured is rare, but I did that. And then I found the velodrome. I found the track on a bike, and I started racing, and I had some success there. And I've since set the hour record at the San Diego Velodrome, and I've set the course record at the World 6-Hour Time Trial Championships on a fixed gear bike in my age group. So, you know, I work hard on the bike, and it's a lot of it is what drives the rest of my life.
Yeah, literally and figuratively, right? I love that.
I guess, yeah.
Well, I mean, so I feel like I want to jump out of this Zoom here and go ride a bike and just kind of even you know, make a mile in the day. That would be a big accomplishment for most people, including myself. So you said kind of almost sarcastically, in these different transitions in your life to take on new things, you got bored or it was challenging. Like what makes you do those leaps? Or what do you think? Is there a commonality that made you say, time to do something new?
You know, it's funny. I've been thinking about that a little bit and just sort of thinking about this conversation that we're going to have. And, you know, today, people stay in jobs for like 2 years and bump, and then 2 years and go, and 2 years and go. My dad had two jobs, right, in his 45-year career. So it seems like I've done all these really cool things, but from a career perspective, you know, I had 35 years in the film industry. I'm doing so far 15 years in scuba and still running. And I've been on a bike since I was a kid. So I'm not bouncing around. You know, I think that's the thing that that differentiates out all of this stuff that I'm doing, is that when I go in 100% all the way with staying power. And the things that don't work, you don't hear about, because they're come and they're gone, right? The things you're hearing about are the things that have had staying power in my life that I've been successful at and that I've enjoyed doing. So yeah, it's really about finding the things that are cool and staying with them for periods of time, and allowing boredom to set in over decades, not months.
Yeah, I love that. I've been a career chameleon many times myself already, and I, you know, I'm reading your bio, I was like, wow, he's even more so, right? Because they're somewhat, they don't seem to be a thread there, but you just laid that thread, and I love that it's something that you've been passionate about for a long time, and you then manifested into something that is deeper than just a casual hobby. I think a lot of people are not only scared to do something, even if they have that conviction that they loved it or they did it as a kid, right? But to do it as seriously as you do. And I wonder, you know, where does that confidence to do it come from? How did you get there?
You know, I don't know if I can answer that. I mean, that's just, it's kind of in me, but I think that a lot of it has to do with wanting to do things as well as I can do them, and trying not to settle for just quick. You know, there's a saying that is really hard to believe, which is, if you do what you love, the money will follow. And when you don't have any money, that just sounds like a load of crap. You know, it's like, yeah, right, well, maybe for everybody else, but not for me. But with staying power, that becomes true. So it you know, if you're, for me, if I'm looking for a career change, which is often not something I'm doing consciously, I'm just allowing stuff to come in, knowing that if I go into it 100%, I can do it. And if I need the money will follow. But if you go into it with the attitude that this probably won't work, or it might not work, or I'm just going to test it and jump out quick, it's a guarantee it won't work.
So did you overlap things, or was it like cold turkey? I'm going to stop one and go to the next.
No, always overlapped. You have to, or I had to, right? Because, you know, it was probably a 5-year transition between film industry and scuba, until I was confident enough that scuba would provide, you know, the fun, the challenge, and the income to leave, you know, a successful career in the film industry. So yeah, I did them both together. You know, the work I'm doing with the Parkinson's Association overlaps 100% with scuba. I mean, I do them both. Mm-hmm. And the bike is, you know, the third element of that. So it feels like three full-time jobs. And, you know, I'm okay about that. Somebody asked me why I don't retire. And it's like, well, if I retired, I'd do the exact same thing I'm doing now, but without the money. So why would I do that?
Unbelievably wonderful. Love that. I love that. So, you know, people, I, you know, in our coaching world here, we get a lot of people who have this, what I would call a whim, right? They're like, oh, I would really love to do X, but you can, I think what you're saying is, yes, do X, but don't just give up all the other stuff, because You know, there may be when you try X, you do X, maybe you want to keep it as a hobby. And I'm curious, do you have these three quote career or work related things? They could be hobbies, like you said, if you didn't get paid, but do you have a bunch of other things that you do? Or is this really where you focus your three, you know, your energy day to day on these three things?
Well, I have a family and I have grandkids and I have, you know, dinners to friends. I mean, that's the rest of it. You know, it's not all work, although the work is fun. So I don't really consider it work. But no, there's a ton of life going on around these elements. And, you know, I'm yet to figure out how to make money on the bike. And fortunately, I don't have to because I have two other jobs. But, you know, that's another thing to look at in the long term is there a way to turn the bike into an income stream also? You know, either, and I'm working on it through a company we started called the Institute of Purpose, which is really cool. And I'm, you know, I'm speaking on to groups on living with purpose, and the bike is a big part of that. Because, you know, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is see what my workout is, figure out how I'm going to fit that in. Then I make everything else work around it.
Oh, I love
so
it.
So the priority is the thing I'm not getting paid for, but I make time for everything else. So, you know, it all kind of fits together.
Well, that's just that's a power tip right there. And I love that. You know, I will tell people, because of the brain science work we do, if you don't do things that make your body and your brain happy, the rest of it will be miserable eventually, if not now, right? So I think that's a beautiful way that you operate. And thank you for sharing that. It's not just a tip. It's really a whole way of just running your life. I love that. I'm going to ask you one more question. Well, and then we're going to get into some real like power tips, because I think the reason I loved when you suggested, you know, coming on the show was that you have this, as you said, maybe unexplainable to you. I can kind of try to take ideas of why you feel so confident to just go all in emotionally, if not physically and financially, but you don't just try something, like you said, with, oh, I'm going to give it a go. You try and be like, I'm going to give it all my go. And I wonder if you have, you know, you probably, a lot of people that ask you this question or say this, I wish I could ride a bike, or people say to me all the time, I wish I could write a book. And my answer is, well, why not? Just do it, right? So how do you handle those people who say, I wish I could do one or multiple things like you, Jeff, and do them as well as you do? What's stopping them? And why do you think they get stuck?
Well, I think for one thing, failure is okay, right? You asked about overlap. Overlap allows failure. So the problem with, I hate the word problem, the project with overlap is that it takes a lot of time. So if you're going to do an overlap, then you have to have the time to do both things at the same time so you can release one at some point. And I think that's the key. Overlap allows failure to be okay. And I think if failure is okay, it takes pressure off. If you start a business with all of your money and assume it's going to work and it's going to be your savior, your salvation, and, you know, everything's going to be wine and roses. And I did this once and it was a train wreck. It's impossible to make that work because the expectation and the pressure gets so high that failure becomes likely, not just an option. And I think when failure becomes likely, the whole thing just unravels. So I think being realistic, but being risky in a conservative way is what allows for failure to be an option and success to be a very likely outcome.
Well, you know, I think you just realized that paradox there, and you kind of, you identified something I think is worth kind of reiterating here, which is when you do this, what we're calling the overlap, you're not hedging your bet. You're not saying if this new thing fails, right? And I think that's the big mindset difference. Maybe that's part of your secret to success, is that you are saying, I'm going to give myself time to figure it out and fail along the way, but damn well, I'm going to make this work. I just have to give it a little longer runway. And in the meantime, I'm going to keep my family fed, you know, right? My ego propped up with whatever is already in running and successfully. And I think that's a huge, huge way to like not only wrap your brain around it, but give yourself a little bit more compassion about doing something new that is a little scary, but at the same time, being fully committed to doing it over time.
So going all in is the only way to do it. Right. If you go not all in, I don't know what you call that, but if you don't go all in,
half-assed.
You're setting yourself. I'm sorry.
Half-assed.
If you go in half-assed, you're setting yourself up for like 80% guaranteed failure.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, it's impossible to do something assuming that you're going to hit the lottery because, you know, nobody gets the lottery. And if you count on that, it will not work. You know, the whole idea is find the thing. And the thing that you find, it may not be the thing you expect. I think that's the biggest issue too, is that you have to be willing to say yes to stuff that may not be right down the lane of your expectations, right? You've got to be able to say yes to something so like I was looking for an education project when I got out of the film business or getting out of the film business. I didn't really care what it was. It turned out to be scuba. Now, I like scuba. I was a scuba instructor, and you know, it turned out to be a really good thing. But it could have been teaching a program on car mechanics or on brain surgery or on anything. I didn't really care. I wanted an education project, and I was looking and looking and looking. And when the thing came up that I thought I could do this for a while because I like scuba and I wanted to be education, then I said yes. And then when I said yes, I went all in, and I did another overlap. You know, like I said earlier, like a 5-year overlap back around 2008, going out of one and into the other. I never really lost the film industry. I still do cool little documentary projects. And, you know, I used to need, you know, 60 people and 8 trucks to make a movie. And now I have like a little Nikon that does video, and I do these little super cool, high end, high production value documentaries on my own because I'm not in a time frame, not in a budget. All of that. So, you know, the good, fast, cheap thing, right? You can have any two, but you can never get all three.
Yeah.
So if you do, so like my little projects now, they're good and they're cheap, but they're not fast. The movies were good and fast, but not cheap. You can almost apply this to everything.
Yeah.
I apply it to skiing too, right? Steep, bumpy, or icy, but you can only have two. And, you know, you live in the Northeast, so you get that.
Yeah, I do. Hey, look, you know what? This is awesome. You've already dropped some really incredible tips. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a really quick sponsor break. And I want you to, like, think about the one thing that somebody who's sitting there going, I really want to do X, whatever it is, right? You know, they have this passion or purpose that they're doing. They may have a very lucrative, quote, day job. And we'll talk about your best tips for getting them through that overlap and getting things started. Is that a deal?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be right back. This podcast was sponsored by the American Confidence Institute. ACI uses basic brain science to teach you not what, but how to think with more confidence. ACI is endorsed by top universities and business experts, and it is accredited by the Society for Human Resource Management and the International Coaching Federation. Learn more about ACI's uniquely empowering keynotes, workshops, online training, and coaching certification at www.AmericanConfidenceInstitute.com. Jeff, I have been utterly entertained, educated, and at the same time enlightened because, you know, as a somebody who's done multiple careers and has hobbies, I would say I call them hobbies as you do as well. I love this balance of finding a passion that you really want to do, finding your purpose, if that's what you want to call it, in terms of something you really want to do. And it may not seem that you can afford to do it, time or money, but you figure out how to make that happen. So somebody who's listening, who's like, I have a job, I'm doing what I was, my career, or maybe where I just kind of ended up, but I really want to do something else. Best tip to get them from point A to point B is what?
Find the thing you're good at. Now, it sounds like you may be looking for the thing you're good at, but find the thing you're good at, which means find the thing you're in some way passionate about and you know will have some staying power.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, so like my wife loves to garden and I don't like dirt. So, you know, I would not do something related to gardening. It's just not my thing, right? I wouldn't do it. I love bicycles. I would probably do something related to bicycles because it would give me the staying power to stick into something long enough that I could see it come to fruition. So I think, you know, we do a thing called a Path to Mastery workshop in the Institute of Purpose. And what we do is we say, all right, I want to get good at something else. So I'm going to take something that I am good at today and I'm going to figure out how I got good at it. Where did I discover it? Where did I learn it? How did I practice it? Do I teach or coach it? And I'm going to take that process that I went through on one thing and I'm going to apply it to something else. Like in the film industry, right? I discovered it as a kid. I did a ton of training. I practiced for decades and then I taught for many, many years. If I look at that and say, okay, I did that in the film industry and I want to do it on the bike. How do I take the energy and the motivation and the drive that I had to get good in the film industry and apply it to the bicycle? And it was easy. Discovered the bike. I want to start racing at age 50. Next thing, train. How do you train? Get the best coach you can find. Read everything you can possibly read. Do whatever it takes to learn it and then practice for as long as you need and then coach it or train it, which is what I'm doing on the bike now. I teach and I coach on the bike. So I was able to take one thing I was good at and just lift it up, move it over and apply it to something else that I was wanting to get good at. And it works. That process works because you go into something new with the confidence knowing that I did something else really good. I can do this really good because I'm going to do the same process over 1, 2, 5, 10 years I did on the first one. And it takes away the gotta succeed instantly mindset. You know, because I look at the film industry, it took me 20 years to become functional in the film industry. You know, I might take 20 years to get functional in the bike. I've been doing it for 10. I'm probably going to live long enough to do it for another 10. It might take that long. I don't know. But it doesn't matter because that journey is what's fun and the journey is what's driving me. So I think go into the things you're good at, but go in with the idea that I'm going to stick for a while. And then if it doesn't work or you hate it or it goes sideways for some reason, just stop, cut your losses and get out and do something else. It's easy to say that. It's like the same thing about if you do what you love, the money will follow. It just sounds like complete BS if you don't have any money and the money's not following. Right. So there has to be a level of trust in yourself, trust in the universe, trust in whatever you want to call it that says, okay, I can make this work. You know, it sounds like a load of crap because it's not in my current vision. But if you put it in your vision, and you do accept the fact that this might take a long time, then things tend to work out.
Yeah. And I, you know, you mentioned, I like to say the doors will show up, right? If you're looking in the direction that you want to find something, and your example was, you know, what can I do next that follows some of those same traits? Like you'll figure it out. And at the same time, you're giving yourself a little bit of a cushion to use time and energy before you decide, yeah, I want to really do this, or I'm, you know, maybe not. You have dropped some amazing tips, but you also said you have workshops and all kinds of other things. So if somebody wants to look you up and follow you and get some more information, what's the best way to do it, Jeff?
Yeah, probably the Institute of Purpose website, instituteofpurpose.org. That's got like all the stuff we're working on. It's a cool project. It's got lots of little video and content about people living with purpose. It's got short documentaries about people who have found a way to really light up their life as it relates to purpose and stuff like that. So instituteofpurpose.org is probably right now the best target.
Perfect. Thank you for that. I want to really thank you for sharing some wisdom. Thank you for the work you're doing on Parkinson's. I shared with you some of the people in my immediate world that I love so much. Suffer from it. And I am just hopeful that we will find a cure. And I know with the work that you're doing and others, we're on the right path. keep biking, inspiring the rest of us to do a little bit more exercise. That's wonderful. You're speaking, everything you're doing. Thank you so much for bringing your light to the world and to my listeners here.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm grateful to be here.
Before we totally wrap up, I want to let you know that full transcripts and show notes for this and other Real Confidence episodes can be found on www.AmericanConfidenceInstitute.com/podcast. I also want to remind you once again that the best way to get confidence is to give it to others, and you can do it just by liking and sharing this episode on your preferred podcast and social media channels. You can even give me some confidence by noting topics you'd like me to consider for the future. So for now, this is Alyssa DeVere. Thank you for helping to bring more confidence to the world. Master editing done by Ben Weinstein, with original music performed and composed by Jeff Mitchell. Real Confidence is a production of American Confidence Institute. All rights reserved.